This episode of the Inner Ho Uprising is sponsored by Lola.
Inner Ho Uprising.
Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising,
the podcast. Why does it say you're there?
No, I was going to say something. I'm like, I'm just going to let her off.
Like, is that our intro? The podcast is about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black polyamorous hoe living in New York City. That's why the year is there.
And me, Rob, one agender pansexual feminist with a fat tay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So my name is Sam. I'm the principal host of this here show. That means that week in and week out, I'm here with one of three rotating co-hosts. And then we have a joint episode together on week four. But this is our last week with this particular co-host.
You have to read the whole name.
Rob, a.k.a. Rob the God Jew Herd.
Sound as enthusiastic as I wanted it to, but it's fine.
I'm sorry.
Yes, this is my last episode from now, but you will see me again in videos and letters.
You're like Game of Thrones. See you again in 2019.
You're gonna see little glimpses of me.
Yeah.
And Sam's gonna be reading my letters.
Yes. In my best, you know, Rob impression voice.
Good luck.
You're
you heard?
Like, why is that a letter? That doesn't make any sense.
Somebody's gonna understand it. Some New Yorker.
Facts, though. That was real facts. If you're a new listener to the show, we have a couple of segments here for you. They are as follows.
Fae of the week.
This is where we talk about people who we find attractive.
Ho of the week.
Where we talk about you guys, the homies, the listeners, the fans.
Self-care tip of the week.
Where we give you some advice on how to take care of yourself.
Pay a ho.
Which is where we beg for money that we desperately need.
Fuck that.
Our current event segment.
Fuck it.
Our topic of the day. And today we're speaking with Zane. Yay!
Round of applause.
Yes.
Fuck me.
The segment about our sexual, romantic, and dating lives.
And fuck you.
Just about your sexual, romantic, and dating lives.
If you would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag InnerHoUprising so we can see it. And pod in, hashtag pod in. Don't just put pod in. That'd be weird. And that'd be so other people can see it.
Cool. What's our first segment?
Bae of the week.
Who's your bae?
My bae of the week is Chief Boyd. Cool. So if you do not know who Chief Boyd is, and you probably won't if you're not from New York.
I'm sorry, does this person have a first name?
Tanya Boyd.
I was born Chief Boyd.
Like, okay. But could you imagine like being like a chief? You want to be like called Chief because that's like cool as shit. So I'm going to, that's
right.
The official designation, damn Sam. Okay. No, get out of my life. All right, cool. So, so Chief Boyd. Mm-hmm. Whose full name is Tanya Boyd. She is the department's, FDNY department's first black female chief. She is, well, was an EMS captain. She had 21 years in the job, so like a real super duper veteran. Actually, one of our greatest, our great friend, young Cap Kemas, that was his captain. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yo, she used to have the food on deck with the long nails. Like, she's, you know, when you hear about the first black, a lot of the times, it's a person that still doesn't really look like you, but she looks like she could definitely be a part of my family, which is, it makes me love her even more.
Yeah.
So she joined the EMS on some, like she winged it, was trying to help her friend pass the exam. So she took the exam as well after helping her friend study.
That's so cool.
Got in and she's like, I'll just do it to make money. And then stayed. Like, didn't think like she would get this far and like just went for it. So if you don't know about anything in the FDNY, you will know that the FDNY is not a very strongly populated group with minorities. Mm-hmm. It's definitely white male dominated as far as EMT, paramedic, hazmat, and definitely the firefighters themselves. Mm-hmm. So to have a chief that is black and a woman, and not just like a black woman, but like a true black African-American woman, its representation is just super duper important. Mm-hmm. She grew up in Brooklyn, so she wanted to follow her grandmother into nursing, but got her EMT license, kind of went with it, gunned it. And yeah, so that is definitely my bae of the week.
Shouts Chief Boyd.
And, you know, it's still very strange that we still have first black things.
It happens every day.
But, you know, one day when I'm like well past dead, maybe that'll stop happening.
Yeah.
And it'll, not that we want it to stop happening, like people stop achieving these things, but hopefully we can just be equal.
Yeah.
That thing that we talk about.
One can only hope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Our next segment is Ho of the Week. This was recorded 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
Rob is not even in this country.
I'm in this country. I'm just in Texas right now. Yeah. Stop trying to kick me out of the country, bro. Damn, you Donald Trump.
Sorry. No. I was going to do impression, but I'm like, that's triggering. Let me not do that.
Don't do that.
But yeah, so let's let the whole of the week just be all of Rob Hive.
Yes.
One time for the one time.
Because I will miss.
Because don't want to hear from you motherfuckers ever again. See you in 2019.
Y'all just going to say hashtag Rob Hive Death?
Don't ever hashtag it. I'm going to start reporting and blocking people.
What?
Sam Five.
You guys don't even
to the
know.
Limelight.
They hate y'all so much, but I love
no,
you.
No, it's
guys.
You that we hate.
Oh, that's fine too. Yeah. Actually, yeah, you're right. They love you guys, especially because you're like,
I mean,
all
you listen
Hive,
to the show.
But, you know,
so,
you're right. I do. And I'm always like, why are they always talking about me? But it's okay because I feel special.
No, that's real love. That's
yes,
real love.
I love you guys though, and I love all of my raw pies. So continue to send me nudes.
Shout out.
Don't ever stop doing that.
Okay.
Not you, Sam.
I was like, I guess. I was like firing up the email.
Since you asked. Because
that's how I send my nudes.
You do email.
Yeah, real old school.
No, you take a picture, you print it out Rite Aid, and you mail it. With
I look at myself in the mirror, and then I paint myself. Like one of the
painting.
French girls, yeah. An oil painting. I don't have money like that, nigga. What are you talking about?
I don't got money either. That's why you got it.
Gonna skip self-care to the week because I have a half brain and a half brain idea.
I just want you to know that it says something about gardening, so I don't know what that means. I don't think Sam knows. No, she
when
said
you
because
connect
felt
with
very
the
springy.
Earth,
have you ever
you
heard
feel...
about earthing?
No,
that's when you walk on the ground barefoot. And there's like real there's
when
research
when
well, that too
my
when you're
family?
Like born like out of sight of America, but there's like real life like research, like real official research about walking around without your shoes or sleeping on the floor, like without like any kind of barrier, that it helps you connect to the earth's like electromagnetic field, which helps with like different things. I forget like the different things that it can heal, but it was like a lot of very normal ailments that it helped heal.
Bad knees.
And I was like, you know that you're connected to the earth, like duh, we live here.
Yeah.
And we're everybody's like, you know,
except for B.O.B.
Besides B.O.B.
Because this is not a real earth.
Because
this is
he
earth program.
He thinks that the world is like that meme with the dinosaurs and then the meteor is a dinosaur. That's my favorite meme on earth.
On earth? There is no earth.
I meant my favorite meme on the flat trapisphere.
The flat disc, yeah.
The trapisphere that is earth. But since you said something about gardening, you could garden barefoot.
There you go.
Which is probably kind of weird, but we do it all the time back home.
Exactly.
So,
self-care tip of the week.
Garden barefoot.
Now for Payho. If you would like to help sustain the InnerHoe Uprising podcast monetarily, you can do so by going to innerhoeuprising.com. Clicking the tab Pay a Ho. You can also go directly to paypal.me/innerho. You can go back to innerhoeuprising.com, click the tab merchandise, and buy a cool hoodie or a t-shirt. You can use the sponsor codes used in this and previous episodes. And I'm not going to say the whole Patreon spiel because it's not copied
it's not
and pasted
there, and
in
it's
there.
Long.
Yeah. But you can subscribe to us on Patreon by going to patreon.com/innerhoeuprising. If you pay $2 a month, you'll get cool things like not Rob's going away party
because
it already happened and you missed out. FOMO.
But
fucking subscribe on Patreon.
You could come to my coming home party.
Yeah,
my going away party part two. Coming home party.
Going away
for $2 a month.
Exactly. Get on it. And then for $5 a month, you can get access to events early, and you can also see behind the scenes footage like the one in this episode. You can see Zane live and in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know you want to. You thirsty hoes. Mm-hmm.
Patreon.com/innerhoeuprising. Let's get into the actual show now.
That's a party on the weekend. That's a party on the weekend.
Fuck it. Our topic of the day. And today we're speaking with Zane Silva.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah. And we're going to be talking about Zane's activist work, Zane's organization, Trans Alike, Zane's cool, you do very interesting stuff on social media where you let people know what it's like to be a trans man in transitioning and just all the things that come with that. So we're going to delve into it all.
Awesome.
Cool.
Okay, so to start us off, I mean, we know your name, but tell us your pronouns, where you're from, who you are, and what you do.
So my name is Zane. I am the founder of Trans Alike. I am a trans activist, like you said, so I do most of my work on social media. Trans Alike is an online support system and sometimes a personal support system for trans or LGBT youth. My pronouns are he and him, and I am from Brooklyn, New York.
Hey.
Right here. I've never been to this area, so I was kind of like,
isn't it like, is this Brooklyn? Quite skeptical. Like, if you stand outside, you might get kidnapped, but that's okay.
It does kind of feel like that.
But you'll get returned. You'll just get returned and covered in, like, paint or something. I don't know. Love Brooklyn.
Artists.
So if you don't mind, like, start at the beginning about your journey. So when did you begin to become aware of your gender?
I would say pretty young. I knew that I didn't identify with being female. I didn't know what it was called, and the only thing I could think of was like calling myself a lesbian, which didn't really feel correct either. So I would say the first time I heard transgender was when I was 17, and immediately I knew that that was what I was feeling this whole time.
Mm-hmm. Where did you hear it?
I heard it from a friend over the phone. We were talking about something. She was actually making fun of trans people, saying, like, I know this transgendered guy or whatever, and it. And I was like, what's that? And then when she said that, I was kind of like, yeah, that sounds stupid. And I was like, why would anyone ever want to do that? And then I hung up and I was just like, oh my God. I think
did
I
you
just
go
figured
on, like,
out.
A Google Rampage?
Yes. It was mostly Tumblr at that time. Uh-huh. So it was like Tumblr, YouTube. And I saw the first trans guy, which was a white trans guy. And I was like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe it. And from that moment, I was just ongoing researching probably for like the next like 7 years. Just researching like crazy.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I love the internet. Isn't such a good thing? And like a horrible thing at the same time. Yeah. So when and how did you begin transitioning?
I began my physical transition about 2 years ago. I began my social transition about 6 months prior to that. So it all happened at my workplace. I work for a tech company. And so I met someone. It was actually like a crazy story. I was super suicidal that week. And I was just kind of at the point that I was just like, you know, I always compare myself to Paul in the Bible, where Paul is believed to have a continuous sickness that never goes away. And so I was getting at the point where I was getting tired of that. And there was just one day where I was like, God, I just can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, if you don't have someone say something very specific to me, I know that this is like my last round, you know? And so I was just saying like, I had an issue with my parents not being able to accept it. So I was like, I need someone to come up to me and say that they are a mom of a trans kid and that it's going to be okay. Like, mm-hmm. I needed something very specific, and I didn't think I was going to get that. So I went to work the next day, and I met this new manager that got there. And like, long story short, we got into this conversation. She said exactly that to me, and she was like, I don't know why, but I had a dream about you, and I had a dream about this. And the next day I began my social transition, and I just went full force from there and started hormones like 6 months later, and then got my top surgery like a year later.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this is like all fairly recent.
Yes. Yeah.
So you had mentioned that you were struggling with the fact that your family didn't accept it. So did you come out as trans to your family before your social transition?
Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm. When I had first heard about it, I would say like 3 months later, I was telling my family.
From the 7 years.
From the 7 years.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Well, almost 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But my family is very, very religious. Mm-hmm. They are very known in the Christian community. And so my family works very like a government, almost. Like, we make appointments to talk to each other, and like there's just no emotion involved. So it wasn't really I wasn't really upset about it. I kind of expected that, but mm-hmm. it had just hit me a little bit harder than usual, which they're still coming around, which is fine. I already expected that.
So you're saying that they didn't accept it,
they were just like, you know, we're Christian, okay. You know, this is wrong. We're not really going to explain anything else. Like, that's just kind of how it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in terms of, because you are a faithful person, not only do you come from a faithful family, but you are faithful.
Yes.
How do you, if at all, like, how does your faith play a role in being transgender and your transitioning process? And did you ever feel any conflict with that?
Well, I mean, there's always conflict when it comes to the other party, the Christians, you know, that mm-hmm. believe, you know, whatever they believe, that which is against most of my beliefs. But Christ is why I transitioned. You know, it was because of my love of Christ, my love of God, and being able to wake up the next day and say, like, I'm here. You know, like, someone, I know I asked for something really stupid and it could have been a coincidence. But it was perfect timing for that coincidence. Yeah. And so if it weren't for my belief or for my faith in God, I don't think I'd make it this far. It helps, like, prayer helps me. Reading my holy text helps me. Mm-hmm. It definitely gets me through everything a trans person suffers from, like gender dysphoria, isolation, rejection, just because that's what my faith is based on, you know, accepting those who are rejected and isolated. So it definitely pushes me along more than anything else.
And because you do so much like, sort of outreach work via your social media and connecting with people in the trans community, do you also find other people who are faithful, whatever religion it may be, and struggling with dealing with that? And do they come to you for advice?
Yeah. I mean, when I first started Translink, I didn't think that anyone, I thought that I would get a lot of hate messages, actually. I was like, oh my God, trans and Christian, I'm probably going to get, like, pummelized online. But I actually was receiving hundreds of messages from trans youth that were, I mean, the youngest that has reached out to me was 9, probably. That's what they say. Asking me about God and how did I say it to my parents? What Bible verses did I use to explain it? What did I, you know, like, what were the steps that I took? And I also have parents reaching out to me saying, how do I deal with my child that's trans? I'm Christian, but I'm also open-minded, but will my church accept them? Like, what is safe for them? And so, there are definitely a lot of, trans folks who are religious or spiritual, specifically in the POC community. Definitely in the POC community.
Is there a specific verse that helps you the most, or your favorite?
Well, I mostly just tell them, you know, that we're to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. That's the number one. I always let them know, specifically talking to children, I always try to teach them more of a patience kind of perspective, because when I was younger, I didn't do that. I wasn't very patient with my parents and trying to understand their journey and how it was with me growing up, or things that, or maybe things that they're not educated on, and how that might cause confusion. So I definitely start from that place. But I usually just say, I probably just say that verse, I think, because I think it's a very, it's not like, oh, God this or God that, or you have to do this. It's just, you know, love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Yeah.
And that's like a common thing to say to
someone.
Yeah,
it should be applied to everyone.
Generic, whether you believe in God or not. So it usually works.
Cool. What inspired you to begin documenting your transition on YouTube and then social media? Because you kind of started with YouTube. And you're an Instagram celebrity. A famous person.
Life famous. Yeah.
No, my God, I wish. I'm like an amateur in my work. But I had gone through a period where I didn't have a support system in New York. Although we live in New York and it's very open, there just weren't very many POC queer spaces like a while ago. And so what I did was I just kept thinking, like, you know, what do I do? How do I get community? And I was like, well, I have the internet, so let me just do it on there. And then I started doing it and people started following and started asking questions. And that's what made me make my website and Transalike. And so it was mostly because of my own isolation. I was like, I need a community. And whether they're in person or not, like, I'm actually kind of awkward in person, so I prefer that we do it online.
That's why I podcast.
I don't have to say or talk too much.
It's a bummer.
Exactly. So when you started on YouTube, what kinds of videos were you posting?
I was posting videos like doing binder reviews, like anything I saw the white trans men doing on YouTube. Like, because there was like one black trans guy. I don't even remember his name, but he's been doing it for a long time. And he's very like aggressive and like kind of yells at you while he's telling you what to do as a trans guy. He's like, you know, you're going to fuck up or whatever. But he was the only black representation or POC that I saw on YouTube at all. And so I was just like, you know what? There's like this guy and probably another black guy that I can't find. But I can start doing it. Like, what's holding me back from doing it? And being black and Latinx, like, I was like, you know, I can reach a certain amount of people. And then just kept going. I'm not actually very good at the YouTube thing because I have to sit down and edit it, but I definitely tried to do them.
What was it like filling the month to month update videos and tracking your own journey on YouTube?
It was really frustrating, actually, because I'm one of the trans guys who estrogen levels were extremely high. And mm-hmm. usually people would start passing at like 4 months, 4 to 6 months. But I started passing about a year and 5 months in. Mm-hmm. So it was really frustrating to see like all these guys that had started T after me, months after me, almost a year after me. And they were passing immediately and I wasn't. Mm-hmm. But that definitely helped me with myself and learned to humble myself and accept my journey as a trans man. You know, like I'm glad that I'm at this point and I'm grateful for this opportunity. So I just have to accept how I look and be happy with feeling comfortable, which I am now. But mm-hmm. at that time, that's what I was thinking. I was like, oh my God, like this dude has a mustache. I have nothing. I was just like feeling so not manly, which is what you expect to feel the minute you start it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it's definitely hard, yeah.
And can you talk a little bit about your journey with taking tea?
Yeah, it's been really fun, actually. When you start loving yourself, you start learning so much about yourself. Mm. You start learning about the people that you like to be involved with intimately, what you're attracted to, what you like to wear, what you like to do, what you're comfortable with. I learned a lot about like my sexuality and like things that I was willing to do or boundaries I was willing to meet. Now feeling different about my body than I did before.
Mm-hmm.
So that was definitely an exciting time, and I'm always hungry and horny all the time, and I can't control it. So,
it's like being a teenager. Yes,
it's literally like being
puberty.
A teenager.
Puberty to the max. That's fun.
So on your Instagram, which I stalk regularly,
this is true. I can verify this.
I'm a creep. So, and I love to read because you know you're doing right now. You're 30 days in transition. Yeah. See, told you I really stalk it. 30 Days in Transition. There's like a documentation on Instagram of the different things you go through every day.
Yes.
After your top surgery. Uh-huh. So one thing you did speak about specifically was, I think this was actually something that somebody may have asked you, mm-hmm. but it was about your attraction to, like your brief attraction to men.
Oh, yeah.
So can you like explain that? And because I read that other people say, oh, I experienced this too.
Yeah.
And it was like this whole conversation. I was like, wow, there's so much that you just really don't understand mm-hmm. when it comes to people in general. Uh-huh. So if you could talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, there was a moment where I started passing and I started feeling comfortable with myself. Mm-hmm. While I was taking tea in the beginning, I began to become very interested in men mm-hmm. or just like their aesthetic, how they looked. And a lot of that could do with taking tea and aspiring to look like that.
Mm.
But my sexuality definitely changed. I used to identify as like straight or just mostly attracted to feminine individuals. And now I am definitely attracted to everyone and everything almost. It was rough during that time because I was passing. I was still very dysphoric about certain things because I hadn't had my top surgery at that time. And I was interested in men. And so I was on Grindr, mm-hmm. which is like, and like Tinder times 10, but just really
10,000.
Gay. Yeah, it's just really gay.
You will get hit up on Grindr. Maybe not Tinder, but Grindr, yes,
Grindr,
you will.
You definitely get hit up on. And what was really interesting was that every dating website I had been on, because like I said, I'm very awkward. I prefer to do everything online. Mm-hmm. I had never felt so accepted in a community. And on Grindr, you can put that you're a trans male or whatever. So I had put that I was a trans male, and I had put, you know, that I was either looking to meet up or to date or to hook up or whatever, because I was exploring, like, do I like this? Do mm-hmm. I want to be with someone that has a penis? Basically, that's what I was thinking. And I figured that I did, and I was attracted to it. And sometimes I was feeling like, oh, what if they don't find me manly enough? What if they don't even consider me a man? And then I was getting so much positivity. I had put that I was a trans activist. And I was getting so much positivity and so many like amazing, inspiring messages like, hey, thank you so much for what you do for the community. Hey, can I ask you a couple questions? I think that I might be trans. And then just people that were really just wanting to hook up and didn't treat me any different, like different yeah. or how I thought.
Like
they didn't
a regular
Yeah. they were actually really great and respectful. They were like, you know, what can I refer to this as, or what are words that you're comfortable with, as opposed to being on OkCupid and getting hit on by women, or yeah, only women at that time. And they were just asking me weird questions. And I was just like really like, so do you have a fake dick and how does it look, or how do they turn your pussy into a dick, how do they do that, and like literally like,
I could only imagine.
Yeah, like things like that. And I was like, what? And then when I was on Grindr, I was like, oh shit, this is gonna be really bad.
Yeah.
And actually they were really respectful. I was like, what the fuck. I was very surprised. But it was definitely an exciting journey, learning that I was attracted to different body types, and different people, and that I was feeling more confident, more comfortable with myself to say, if I ever dated a guy, I would consider myself a gay guy, and I would feel like we had an actual gay relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Despite what other people might think.
That makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people don't know that that's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
The two don't have anything to do with each
other. Yeah.
And another thing, I'd be stalking, boy.
I want people to read it.
So you also spoke about being attracted, or right now only really being interested in trans women.
Yeah.
So.
Oh wow, I don't even remember writing that.
Yeah. I'm a creep.
Yeah, just like, yeah, I am.
I was like, yeah.
How'd you know that?
I know, that's what I was just thinking. I was like, did I actually say that out loud?
You
is
did.
That okay?
No, Rob is just reading your mind. Yeah. Yes. That's how much they're stalking.
I think my clairvoyance has increased by some from that one time of meeting you. My brain is like, okay, I'm in sync now. Like, I'm a part of your brain's head.
I know, it was probably that whack food I was eating. Yeah. It was so horrible. it was disgusting.
Gentrification.
Yes, yeah, gentrification.
Gentrifer food.
I don't even remember what the restaurant was called.
Trash.
But yeah, I have realized that I am more attracted to trans women. I realized that I want to date a woman. And I just feel like I connect more with trans women, mm-hmm. because they're trans, you know, and they understand. They understand as much as they possibly can about my journey. And there's always those conversations that we don't have to have, that I usually would have to have with a cisgender person. Like, mm-hmm. talking about dysphoria, I can just say I'm feeling dysphoric, and the woman I'm currently dating now would be like, I understand. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll give you time, as opposed to someone trying to fix it or trying to make me happy when there's nothing that you can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I appreciate it more for the connection. I think that it's so refreshing to connect with another trans person. But I also want to date a woman as well. So I was like, oh, trans plus woman. I can date a trans,
trans
woman. Yeah, that's exactly what I want.
Works.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. So we've mentioned, or you've mentioned gender dysphoria a lot. Can you just explain what that even means?
Yeah, so gender dysphoria is just not feeling comfortable with the gender you were assigned at birth.
Mm-hmm.
Because people can experience dysphoria. Cis people can experience dysphoria with not liking the way that their body is shaped, or how big they are, how skinny they are. But gender dysphoria is very specific to gender.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what a trans person would experience, not a cis person.
How does that play out, and what are some things that you do to cope with that, if any?
So not all trans people do the same thing. Some people have surgery, some people get hormones, and some people do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Some people just come out socially. So you can change your name. If you had a birth name that's most commonly for a woman, mm-hmm. You can definitely do that.
I'm Rob now.
Yeah.
That's how that happened.
I know. Or you can take hormones. You can dress differently to mm-hmm. express your gender. There are a lot of things that you can do. You can come out as trans and then just do nothing at all and mm-hmm. just be who you are.
Mm-hmm.
But me specifically, I went the route of having surgery
yeah.
and getting hormones, because that was how I felt most comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And to go back to doing hormones or getting hormones, I'm not sure if you mentioned this on your Instagram. Oh, no, I saw it on your YouTube. I, too, stalked you at one point. I was like, where did I pull this information from?
Out the brain.
But, yeah, maybe it was around month four. I'm not sure. But
Damn,
I did this research a while ago. But you had mentioned that your emotions were kind of in flux, taking tea. And then also just the fact that you were transitioning and that was a difficult process for you, that your emotions were in flux. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, while you're taking tea, I mean, it's like I said, I'm always going through puberty. So it's always going to be like that. You are always in the stage of puberty because my body does not naturally create or produce testosterone. So I'm injecting it. Now I do it every 2 weeks, but I was doing it every week at that time. And as you start taking tea, when you stop taking it, it's almost like your body is addicted to it. So you start withdrawing. So every week I take a certain amount. And by the ending of the week, I'm crashing. Because that little bit of testosterone that I injected is already being overpowered by my estrogen. So you are constantly always moody. It's really working towards that. And I've learned that through various encounters and just stepping stones in my life where I was like, you know, I used to be a dick or I used to just be a jerk. And I'm just like, I definitely need to control my anger a lot more, or just how irritated I become with people. I definitely started monitoring that, and I do monitor it with my prayer and my belief. My faith really has helped me with that.
Is taking tea something that you're going to have to do likely for the rest of your life? Or is there a point where you can stop and have the desired effects remain?
I can stop and I will look the same, but I still have my ovaries, so I'm still going to continue to produce estrogen. Until I remove my ovaries, I will still have estrogen. So I would have to take tea the rest of my life. But you do have to take tea for the rest of your life. Some people can stop if they have the looks or desires that they want, but usually it's for the rest of your life.
Ah, yes, the other thing. Stalking. Oh, I'm so good at this. By the way, it's not just stalking.
It's like a single angle of this episode.
It's because he like posts Q&A's on his story, and I'm always on Instagram stories. And I'll be reading that shit because I'm not working right now. I'm a bored motherfucker. So you were getting comments that were saying like, used to be such a pretty woman, or you know, you look good as both, or like, why are you doing this to yourself? Uh-huh. And you had like this whole rant, like, ask me that again. I swear to God. So, because I was like, oh God. Like, what does that do to you when people say these things? Because I'm sure that a lot of these people, of course, clearly they mean in like good intention, like they don't mean that to be mean, but they don't realize the gravity of those words.
So what upset me that led me to the rant is just the perception that people have of trans people. People think of a trans woman and think of a sex worker, or people think of a trans man and think that, you know, we're actually just lesbians. It's the perception that trans people care about how they look, and it's, or that we only focus on how we look, or that we hate how we look, or we, you know, we didn't fit in before. And it wasn't that, you know, it's never that. It's being trans is worrying about your survival, worrying about your mental state, worrying about feeling comfortable, and telling me that I was pretty prior when I don't care if you're attracted to me, and I never would have cared or given you the time or attention, and making it a point to say that when I'm showing, hey, this is a before and after. This was before when I wasn't happy, when I wasn't connected. This was the depressed me. This was the suicidal me. And I say, this is the new me who's alive and loves themselves and has faith. And you're telling me that I'm pretty. I meant to say, I don't give a shit. That's what I was trying to say. And when people do that to trans people, you remember, we go through a mourning process as well. We've known ourselves as something our whole lives, and now we're making this important stride to changing that, and to now living our life scared and feeling like we're unsafe everywhere we go, or wondering who we're going to date, or and when you say that, when you remind us of that, it's just triggering, because we have, like I said, we have to go through that mourning and grieving process. And I don't always talk about trans to think about me before. I talk about it just to say, this is where I'm at now, and you can be here too.
People are dicks.
People are dicks.
Yeah. People are assholes.
Do I stalk the comments? No, that's one thing I don't do. I don't stalk comments because comments can be pretty fucking intense. But do you get comments when people call you the T word?
No, I don't. I Rarely. I just get comments like, oh, if you, you know, you should have stayed a girl. I would have dated you. Mostly comments from cis, like, older men.
Cis creeps.
Yeah, that just want to. But, you know, I just started discovering recently, dating a trans woman currently, in the trans woman community, they use the T word a lot to describe themselves.
Yes.
And trans men don't.
Yeah.
So I'm learning a lot just hanging out with more trans women, like how different we are, and things that that trans men hate that trans women love. And it's annoying. But it's really interesting to see those things because it just shows the different struggles that we have and the privilege that we have now as trans men. And it's super
about
interesting.
About that privilege.
Uh-huh.
Now we're going to take a quick break to read a message from our sponsor.
Lola is a female-founded company offering a line of organic cotton tampons, pads, and liners. Lola products are 100% natural and 100% easy to feel good about. Unlike major brands, Lola offers complete transparency about the ingredients found in their tampons, pads, and liners. No BS, no mystery fibers, no more doubts about what's going in your body. Yeah, so I recently just got my Lola box, but it came in a really cute box. I opened it up. It had Lola on it. I was like, yes, I'm ready. I opened it up. It had my assortments of tampons, so my regulars, my supers, and my super pluses. I was like, they know me. Yes. And then it also had my liners. So I opened them up. This is weird, maybe a little TMI, but I smell things, especially if I'm like putting it on my body.
That's smart.
I had to open up the liner and I smelled it. I was like, this smells good. It smells clean. It smells real. All right. So I'm just waiting to use it. I slapped on a liner because, you know, every day is a liner day. But
what does that mean?
I put on a pain liner every day.
Why?
I don't know. Sometimes there's discharge. Sometimes there's not. It's just routine now.
Okay.
Kind of like how people used to powder their stuff. It's just a liner every day. You never know what happens.
So I've been using Lola for the past couple of months now. I really dig it. I mean, it's not the kind of tampon that just destroys inside your body. I felt like not all tampon companies did that, but certain products, they kind of just become nothing. I don't know if you have any experience with that, but it just looks like a degraded paper thing that was in your body. And I don't like when it comes out like that. I don't know if that means anything, but Lola products do not do that. And that's dope. So the weird thing about the FDA is that they don't require brands to disclose a comprehensive list of ingredients in their menstrual care products. So most of them don't even do that. Major brands usually use a mix of synthetic ingredients in their products, including rayon and polyester, aka the things that you shouldn't wear as clothes because they itch like hell. So why would you put it in your vagina? And their menstrual care products may also be treated with harsh chemical cleansing agents, fragrances, and dyes. No good. Lola makes your month so much easier. Their subscriptions are fully customizable, so you can choose a mix of products, your perfect mix of absorbency, number of boxes, and frequency of delivery. Lola's subscription is also super flexible, so you can change, skip, or cancel at any time. So if you just skip your period and keep taking that birth control, you don't need to get your Lola box, but when you're ready, it'll be there for you. They are also now offering pads and liners as well as non-applicative tampons for those who are looking for a more environmentally friendly option. I dig Lola. If you would like to dig Lola or have Lola dig into you, if you know what I mean, because that's what tampons do, am I right? For 40% off your first order, you can visit mylola.com and enter promo code HO40. That's 40% off. That's 40% off your first order with promo code HOE40. Do it. HO40. Yeah. Now back to the show.
It led into it. You saw that? No? Okay.
I don't know
fine.
What you're about to ask.
I was
going to
ask about the new privilege
yeah.
that you do now have.
Yes.
Now that you have, you know, officially identify as a man. So mm-hmm. what does that privilege look like? And do you think that it's like really the same privilege as a cis male?
Yeah, it feels exactly the same as a cis male. It just sucks, actually, because it's like you know, I don't know, I've experienced like more catcalling. I've experienced guys now like sizing me up, you know, which mm-hmm. I've never experienced before, like men looking at me and just seeing if they could, I don't know,
getting
like
a taste of the toxic masculinity.
Like if we could fight, they're like, they're wondering who would win, and I know they would win, so I'm not even trying to do that with them. But I definitely recognize it, and it's just in male predominant spaces, like the conversations that happen. And now, you know, I'm the annoying guy that's like, hey guys, we can't talk about things like that. Or yeah. Hey, oh, guys, no. That's uncomfortable. I know.
They're like, why are you here?
I know. They like,
what kind of man are you?
They literally screaming that. Oh, they're like, what the fuck? Dude, can't even grab a drink. I'm like, not when you're being sexist. I can't enjoy my beer. Like, yeah. You know, and so, I mean, and it hurts because I see women or hear comments and I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, I make a very conscious decision now. If I'm walking at night, don't walk on the same side as the woman that's walking in front of me. Or if I'm doing something, like, don't go in the elevator alone with her at 2 o'clock in the morning. She's going to feel uncomfortable. You know, and maybe I look creepy doing that too, right? That I'm being extra careful, but it's just, I just notice everything that I used to hate about guys. Yeah. And I'm just like, shit, now I'm doing them.
I
don't even realize that I'm doing them, you know? And so it's.
Did it make you hate guys a little less than?
More. Still, yeah, still hate trash. Them more. Yeah, I think they're trash. If anything, I'm like, why? I didn't think I could hate them anymore. I was like,
oh, no.
Yeah, but now I am in the position where I can say something. And so that feels good to me that I can actually say something. And even if I'm the annoying guy, I still have a male's opinion. So to them, it's something, right?
So the cis men that you're around, are these men that you were around before you began transitioning, or are these like men that have just like come into your life like as time went on?
No, men that have just come into my life. I like all of my friends that are cis now don't know that I'm trans. Most of my coworkers do, but some of them don't. Mm-hmm. So they're all new friends. I only used to hang out with women before, so I didn't really have guy friends. Mm-hmm. I just started. That's my area of opportunity. I'm doing that right now, taking care of that, learning to have like bromances or whatever the fuck they call it.
My favorite. I have so many of those. So then that means that they respect your opinion just like every other opinion.
Yeah.
And they just ridiculous. Hate. They just hate it on the inside. Like, man, this dude's right.
Yeah,
he won't let us hate women. God
I
damn
know.
It!
Then they stop joking, and I can tell when I kill the moment. But I'm just like, I mean, I'm like, dude, you're talking a lot of shit. Like, it's just so
hard
weird
to like sit there and listen to. It's like
everything they talk about is hard.
You gotta stop.
That's why I hated Akeem for a little bit. And he was just letting all of. We have this group of friends called Bros Before Hoes.
Yes.
So that gives you the context of how.
Yes, and they were.
They were really sexist,
were
and I was
sexist.
Like, I'm a feminist now. None of this makes any sense.
And it was so hard for me because I was just like, yeah.
Yeah, nobody would support me.
And then they kicked me out because they felt that I wasn't a bro.
Yeah.
And I was like, but I'm a dude. Why don't you love me? Yeah, but you know, all men are trash. What kinds of activism outreach do you do?
I do a lot of protesting. Any protests I see, I go to. I do it through YouTube, like talking about discussions, or on my Tumblr, on my Instagram mostly is my biggest platform for activism. And I do activism at my tech job for trans employees. And I also do it in any moment I can, if it's going to a school or talking to someone about it. I mean, I probably talk about being trans probably like 100% of the time. So any moment I have, whether it's at my church group or within my family or friends or a big corporation, I do it.
How does it play out in the tech sphere?
For the company I worked for, there's about 600 employees in that spot. There was about 600 employees, and I was the only trans person to ever had worked there from their knowledge and mine. Mm-hmm. And so because of the interaction I had with my manager, who basically saved my life, I had dedicated myself to letting other trans employees know that they can do it at this company, that it was a safe space, and that there were benefits for trans people with our health insurance and all these things. So I started doing outreach to like our HR team and everything, and they've been extremely supportive in doing that and that's announcing awesome. Benefits for trans employees.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You have a service called Help Her Brother Out.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, Help a Brother Out is just, I was just going through my clothes, and as I was on testosterone, I gained like 40 pounds, which I had never been over 125 in my life. Mm-hmm. And I realized all the clothes I had that weren't going to fit me. And I was like, oh my God, I need to donate these. And then I met another trans guy that was like, dude, I have clothes to donate to people if you know. And I was just like, I was like, oh my God, I was like, I should just take these and just donate them myself. And so I remember when I said to my friend, help a brother, I was like, give me the clothes that don't fit you, because he was bigger than me. And then I was like, I should just call it that. And so a lot of trans youth that find me on Tumblr actually hit me up there and send me binders or send me clothes that don't fit them anymore, whether it's because they're gaining weight or whatever. But I use that to give that to trans homeless youth in any organization in New York. I try to do it locally because it's a lot of clothes to pack. Mm. But anyone that needs it, even if I know a friend of a friend, like, I make a little package for them.
That's nice. I need clothes, but not that bad. Maybe I do. Youth coaching that you do. Yeah. So can you tell us about that?
Yeah, mostly about what I was saying before, teaching kids patience. You know, my biggest struggle was being upset with my parents that they didn't understand me, and not understanding everything they had gone through. Mm-hmm. I had lost a brother when he was like a week old, and I was apparently the sonogram. I was supposed to be the next boy. And so my family was super excited about that. My brother had passed, and so they were expecting a boy now. And so just reminding myself the things that my parents had gone through together, mm-hmm. and, you know, mourning the loss of a son, and then thinking that they were going to get a son again, and then them finding out it was a girl, and then later me saying, hey, actually, no, I'm a boy.
Like,
I can't imagine.
That's a roller coaster.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine how that must feel for them, mm-hmm. you know? And so no matter how I feel, and if I am upset with them being uneducated on being trans, me being trans or not, I took the time to understand them. And in that, I was able to strengthen my relationship with myself, mm-hmm. and just be able to deal with my parents later. And so I really try to teach kids just patience, mm-hmm. and love, mm-hmm. Not to be disrespected, not to be walked all over, mm-hmm. But to enter it with patience, so it keeps you in a safe environment, so you can keep your home, you're not getting kicked out. Mm. And there's just some kind of level of understanding, because there's just miscommunication there where yep. there's that dislike or rejection from their parents.
Do you also teach kids to use that tool of patience as they navigate the world beyond their family, like in school or just, I don't know, community centers or something like that?
Yeah, I definitely try to get them. I have a map on my website that shows like clinics in their neighborhood or in that state, that are safe spaces that offer communities like that. Or if they, you know, God forbid, are kicked out of their homes, they can get shelter. But that's why I try to share my story every day, so people can see, like, these are things that you're going to go through. Like, you're going to cry. That's okay. You're going to be upset. Mm-hmm. Your family is going to reject you. Probably you're going to lose friends. And a lot of these things are things that you go through in life, whether you're trans or yeah. not. But just reminding them, like, you know, someone has gotten through that. Like, you're not alone. There are thousands of trans people that go through this every day. Just kind of helps them, I think.
Mm-hmm. So with Trans Alike, where do you see it maybe in 5-10 years? Or what is your ultimate goal?
Definitely having a center in New York. Mm-hmm. right now we have about like 3 centers that are POC friendly, mm-hmm. and queer friendly, that I actually agree with their values. So I want to create a space for trans or LGBT youth, spiritually or not spiritual. Mm-hmm. But I would like to give spiritual counseling, no matter what belief they have or what denomination, doesn't matter. Just them getting to a place where they feel comfortable with that. And if they need help to find a temple or a church, I can help them find that. So I'm not hoping. I'm definitely going to have a center within the next 5-10 years.
Awesome.
I just need to, like, find employees and stuff, which is, like, the hardest part, I think.
I mean, yeah. I was like, pretty much everyone who listens to the show who lives in New York City.
That too. I'm sure that they're going to be hitting you up, yeah. like, as soon as this is posted.
Like, I need a job.
Yeah. I don't need a job, but I'll work for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So this is a question I have, because me as an agender person, same thing. Like, when I was younger, I was like, no, I'm a lesbian, even though I really, really was not, because I was definitely a hoe.
Get that
for
dick.
Jews. Yes, I was getting plenty, plenty penis. But the ways that I felt my gender expression was that of, like, somebody be like, oh, you're a lesbian. It's like, no, I'm just, like, a dude. But I had trouble for a very long time shopping in the men's section because people would look at me like, are you buying clothes for your boyfriends? Like, no, it's for me. And I don't know how men's clothes work. yeah. Now that
pant
I'm like,
sizes, what?
I'm 26 and I get it. But like at 20, at 15, like I just didn't understand. No. So did you have like a similar kind of experience?
Yeah, I still, even though I pass now, I still, because I just started passing a little while ago, I still have that thing where I'm in the men's section. I feel like people are staring at me because they used to. But I mean, at some point, I just got over it. I was just kind of like, you know, because I like their pants actually suck. Like my ass is too big for men's jeans.
Yeah.
So
I no, actually have to
get women's jeans. Yeah. I mean, like I can probably fit in like H&M jeans, which I can't even support them now. So I'm just like, you know,
that awkward like, moment, like problematic faves.
I was like, you just fucked me up. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I'm just like, I try to be so crazy with my style or just with my confidence. I just walk anywhere. And when you present yourself that way, people just ignore you and they just leave you alone. They let you be and let you buy what you're wearing, because I mean, if you see everyone's wearing different things, like there's no point in girl clothes, like
it all kind of blends together. Like,
I don't know when they're gonna stop that.
Never.
Seriously. Just make it one section.
The binary's always going to exist. If it didn't, then capitalism would explode. Yeah. The whole thing just implode, and then they think we become Russia, but that's not the case. Because I also want to use this episode because you're not just a trans man, but you're also being an activist. You are able to really talk about this for people who are going through things like this so that our listeners who are struggling can, you know, find some direction. And I know one thing that I've had issues with, which I'm probably never going to do, is coming out to my parents. That's like totally out the window because my parents struck fear in my soul. So about that, because I know that a lot of times it's not like pushing people to come out, like, because it can be a very unsafe thing to do. Yeah. And that's what I feel like it is for me. So advice for people about coming out to their parents or their family or their problematic faves.
Like you said, I would say think of your safety first. What kind of situation are you in? Are you living with your parents? Are you living with people that will reject you, or kick you out? And if they don't kick you out, will they make your life a living hell? Cause, you know, being physically kicked out is just as dangerous as being let in the house and being mentally abused or emotionally abused. I know it's hard to not identify as your true self all the time. I get how stressful that is, but it me doing it the wrong way, I definitely felt it more when I didn't have anyone to support me and I didn't have a place and I didn't have anything. So I would say reconsider what you're feeling and what your safety is in that moment. And if you feel that you can do it, I say go for it. You are the only person that's holding yourself back. You know, whether you're trans or not, you're going to go through phases where you lose friends and you lose lovers, and you're constantly changing and evolving and growing, and you don't want to be the same person you were yesterday. So if you have gotten to the point where you know who you are, you've done the hard work already. You've went through all the confusion, you've went through all the trials and tribulations, and you know who you are. So take that, embrace it, love it, and love yourself. Be true to yourself, and tell them slowly, and try to have patience with them. People that love you will be there for you, and if they're not here for you now, just give it time. Everything heals with time. But definitely make sure that you are in a place to do that, and don't go off of your feelings in the moment, because it's worse to be out in the street and be trans than be at home and them just not know that you're trans, you know?
That's really good advice. You remind me of my dad.
Really?
Seriously? Yeah.
Why?
That's the way that he doles out advice.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Like very thoughtful.
Yes.
Like from
and then also
angles.
He would say have patience, you know, and he also talks like this.
Yeah, you saw me doing the thing with my hand.
When you touch your words.
I'm sorry.
Caress your words.
I know, I was touching my feelings.
I just know when I initially found, like start exploring the fact that I may be agender, that's when I like started stalking him. Not like following around your house. Or maybe I did start following you around your house, but you just won't know it yet. But there were a lot of other public speakers and activists and such that helped me learn what I didn't know and what I needed to know. So I just want you to know, on behalf of me and my people, really appreciate you, because even just your presence, it's important to know that other people like you exist. So you're like, all right, cool. I'm not crazy. Maybe there is something really going on with me that's bigger than me that I have to explore, like just mere presence. And then everything else is like, wow, what a blessing that I could actually hear somebody say the things that are on my mind. So I appreciate you. I had to tell you, that much. One time before I really died. Not that that's going to happen in the next year. I am so nihilistic right now.
Oh, boy.
And I think it's because I'm so fucking tired. Okay. So I want to live, guys.
Take a nap.
I promise I'm not like actually suicidal.
Yeah.
But so do you have anything else?
No.
And I don't. So is there any other closing things you'd like to share?
No, just that I do a binder giveaway every month. I work with GC2B and they're really amazing. They have comfortable binders, and I definitely bind it using their binders probably for like 5 years. So if you guys are interested, you can always check out my Instagram and my website. They give me the 50 binders to give away. They're brand new, of all different sizes, from extra, extra small to 5X. You can hit me up at zane@transalike.com, or you could go on my Instagram and DM me there, and I promise I'll get to you as soon as possible.
Cool.
Do you get like a billion DMs?
Not a billion, but just like enough.
999 million.
Enough where it takes me a while to answer. Yeah. Just like, I try to do it all the time, but I'm like, so tired.
You gotta get an intern.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Damn, I hope I became that important that I need an intern.
Oh, man.
We could use an intern too, to be honest.
Yeah, damn
right. I'm kind of tired right now.
Slack is our intern. Yeah. You know? Slack's not doing a very good job.
Yeah.
Slack is an actual person.
No, it's
the app. Okay. The messaging app.
Oh, I was like, are you calling someone Slack?
So if we get an intern automatically, no matter what their name
Slack,
is,
come here.
Slack.
Slack. Yeah, that's
but you can't. You also can't Slack. That's illegal.
That's the irony of it. That's funny. Yeah, all of which will be in the description for that episode, for this episode. And the binder giveaway, does that apply to everyone in the entire world or just New York City?
Yes, everyone in the entire world.
Awesome. That's
I wish
cool.
somebody gave me some binders when I thought I needed them. But I just wore 3 sports bars.
Do we?
No, now I just don't wear a bra, and it works equally as efficient.
I was like, do we take Zane into the past? Do
imagine
a binder giveaway?
It's better that way ago. That I didn't. I never bought a binder, because now I found out, just like literally just not wearing a bra, I feel equally as. It's just the bra.
Yeah.
The actual bra was. Yeah. It was killing me.
They are terrible devices.
Yeah, and it's just so fucking gendered.
It is.
It's like I could never get out. All I wore was sports bras for 90% of my life, because anytime my mom bought me a bra, that shit was red or pink. Or and it just looks so pretty, and I'm like, wow, I don't want my tits to be that pretty, at least not right now. I just want them to sit still and stop hurting.
You don't want a binder either. That's not...
You said what?
You don't want a binder either.
I don't. No. I don't they're you know, they just kind of exist. They don't really bother me unless they get bigger.
I always have phantom boobs, and I remember my boobs there.
Oh,
and I'm like, fuck.
That's probably so
yeah, especially
strange.
When I feel my nipples
since your
getting
top surgery?
It's been really good, but I experience phantom boob all the time because I had double Ds. I was 34 double D, probably, if I were to measure it. And I don't know. Like, I used to remember going to the gym and then bouncing all the time. Or
and
like,
now they don't bounce.
Yeah, or sleeping on my stomach. I don't have cushion now, but I need a pillow there. But it's just, it's when my nipples attempt to get hard, which they're still getting their feelings right now.
Yeah.
That's when I feel the phantom boob the most, because I feel like my nipples are more over here when they're actually up here now. And I'm like,
that is
fuck.
So weird. You know how they have like that, that thing with the mirror for people with phantom limbs?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think they have that for like phantom
boob? They should.
Like, you know, like a little, and then it's like somebody's fucking boob over there. You're just like, and you squeeze it. You squeeze
maybe
a boob.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm going to design that experiment for you.
I was thinking
I
do research, and I feel like I'd probably go to jail for doing some kind of because, you know, like, you can't just be openly doing research and publishing and shit. Like, you got to go through boards and stuff.
True.
But they'll be like, listen here, that was great, but
you
got to
publish this.
You
we
can never be a researcher. But thank you. We're going to take that for ourselves. All right, cool.
Cool.
Guess we're done with that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Fuck me. The segment about our sexual, romantic, and dating lives. And we're going to hear about Rob's sexual, romantic, and dating lives.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
No, but I will talk about it's talking to my brain.
Different show.
I was like, brain, shut up.
And okay. Then, why'd you point to me?
Because you were in front of me and you were like the representation of my brain. Because I feel you in my head a lot of the times, like telling me what to do because you're my spirit. Not creepy at all. But so I'm leaving. I finally definitely come to that conclusion, like, okay, this shit is really real. I got my paperwork.
Where are you going for people who just listened to the show for the first time?
I am going to the wonderful, hot, dusty country of Kuwait. That is in...
Is it a country?
Yes, that is a country.
Oh, I thought it was a territory.
No, Kuwait is a country. Kuwait City is the capital of Kuwait. I think it might not be. I don't know. Don't quote me.
It's Carson City.
It's like bordering like Iraq and... Saudi Arabia? Maybe. Go ahead, look at that map, Sam.
Yeah,
I also failed geography. Just kidding. I never failed the class. But yeah, I'm going to Kuwait. I'll be there probably for like 9, 10, or 11 months. Mm-hmm. And it didn't... Like, I have so much going on in my life as far as like... I have a grandfather who's really sick right now. So my family's under a lot of pressure. Just mounting tension between me and my girlfriend because I'm leaving. And mounting pressure within myself because I'm trying to struggle like with all these things. Like I have to work, but I'm also not working. And I have to move, but I also don't drive. So I have to rely on people.
Yeah.
But me moving out of my apartment today, which was so fucking sad. My fucking couch is on the floor. I'm in my bed's on the floor now. It's real. So it's not like it's something that I haven't done before. I've just never done it as an adult. It feels a lot different to have people to really leave behind and people that I might leave behind that I might not ever see again. So
what does that mean? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, with my grandfather, because you know shit's looking very intense right now. Mm-hmm. So just think that it all happened so fast. I found out one day, I started training the next day, I got my paperwork the next day, and it's like less than 2 months later, mm-hmm. I'm about to leave. So yeah, I am feeling excited. I'm feeling sad. I'm feeling happy. I'm feeling depressed. I feel very much loved. I feel very isolated. I feel like dying, and I feel like, wow, I'm about to have the time of my fucking life. I don't know how I'm supposed to feel.
You're a bag of emotions.
I am. I haven't been emotional in a long time. So at least I'm not like really emotional. I'm very stable. I just cry a little. And then I call my mom, and then she's like, I don't want to hear about that shit. Just kidding.
I love black moms.
No, my mom absolutely adores me, and she'll listen. And then I'm like, so I need help moving. She's like, that I don't want to hear about. I cannot think about helping you. You could go somewhere else with that bullshit. But she listens. She lets me cry. She doesn't understand why I'm crying, but that's fine. She just lets me do it. And we're supposed to be going to Florida together. Hopefully that actually happens because we didn't buy insurance for our tickets. And then all hell broke loose and we're like,
oh yeah.
So now what? Mm-hmm. But if anything, you know, I'll see her when I get home. I'll see all you guys when I get home. And
I'm going to see you on Friday. Shut
you
up.
Oh my God. Saturday. And I wish that you guys really subscribe to Patreon because not enough people did it. And you're not going to see me get lit. I'm not even going to be drunk because niggas is too tired to drink, but I'm going to be twerking that ass.
Yay.
And you're going to miss it.
Sad.
So when
you've missed it already.
You've missed it, actually. Past tense. So please subscribe to Patreon. And host, I would like you, in my absence, to really support my host because, you know, the financial burden is going to, you know, deepen with lack of an extra person. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to do more episodes without me, which means more money from coming out of them. So, you know, please support them. I'm going to continue to support them, and I'm just going to end up being a fan for 11 months. So you should be a fan, too, if you love us.
A super fan, though.
I will
not
be a super
a regular fan.
I'll send you pictures of my tits. That's how much of a super fan I am. Just kidding. That's weird. But you all seen them already. Yeah, everybody's exactly. Seen them. You're not a good friend if you haven't seen them. You're a horrible friend if you haven't seen my tits. You suck. But I love you guys so much. And... you know, I'll probably post some pictures on the Inner Hole Uprising Instagram of me crying on the story one day.
Me not pump my fist. I was like,
pump it. That's good. Tears are good. That's what Randiva tells me all the time.
She goes, but like, I don't want to see them.
But I'm a really pretty crier.
Okay.
Just kidding.
I still don't.
That's why I have a headache, because I cried this much last night and my brain was like, you're stupid. Here's a migraine for that dumb shit. That's my fuck me. And I love you, Megan.
Aww. Is that the first time you said it?
No,
absolutely. What I was
the
like,
fuck do you
groundbreaking
mean?
News? Because no. I like to break stories. I'm a journalist at
Remember
heart,
that
see?
Time where I broke all of those stories about Megan on the show, and she's like texting me like, "Oh yeah, not like can you stop doing that, but also can you stop doing that?" But no, regardless of what happens while I'm gone in our relationship, you've been the MVP so far. So I appreciate you,
manual labor, Megan.
Manual labor, Megan. Yeah. MVP. MVP. Yeah. And she calls me her boyfriend sometimes. That shit makes my dick hard. So appreciate that.
Yay. Cool.
That's it.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And no fuck you, because we don't care about you guys right now.
Yeah. And no fuck me, because this pussy dry as fuck.
Broken pussy. Broken pussy.
Yeah.
It's okay. You'll be getting tons of Sam's wee wee when I leave, because everybody's going to leave me alone. And they'll come to you.
That doesn't make me feel good at all.
It should.
That's really fucked up.
I'm donating my hoes. I need Rob Hive to migrate to Sam Hive.
That does not feel good. I don't know what you're trying to do here.
I'm not trying to make you feel good at all. I'm trying to make myself feel better. I hope it's working.
Okay. How do we end this show?
All right. So if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so by following us at Inner Hoe Uprising without the G on Twitter, Inner Hoe Uprising on Instagram with the G, and on Facebook. You go to innerhoeuprising.com to pay a bitch or to check out merchandise.
Cool.
So Zane, if you'd like to share your social media and websites.
Yeah, my website is www.transalike.com, and my Instagram is _PANTHEONAURA, Pantheon Aura.
I was going to say it out loud for you. It's Pantheon Aura. I love you so much.
Got it out.
And I am... God, this never gets less funny. it's been like months.
You're silly. That's what you are.
I'm panafrican.bootyscratcher on Instagram. I'm inclusive of all booty scratchers, all African diasporas of booty scratchers.
You have to for the final time, you have to talk about the transition.
Okay. So it started as African booty scratcher, right? And then I was like, you know, this is offensive. That African booty scratcher is offensive. And I'm like, I'm not even like really like first gen African.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't want to say that and just be disrespecting a whole diaspora that I'm not a part of. So I changed to African American booty scratcher. And then I thought about it a little while, because I'm like, you know, technically I'm not really African American either. I don't really want to disrespect this whole African American thing. And then Sam one day said, Pan-African booty scratcher. This is when we were recording the Kwanzaa, where I had on my kente cloth and I was screaming fuck Rango over and over again. She said Pan-African booty scratcher to be inclusive of all African peoples. Yes. So here I am. I'm not one of those people who are like, I called you African booty scratcher in fifth grade, but I love Wakanda. But I'm the one who did it when you were in your fourth year of college. And if you want to,
no, you're the one who called yourself an African.
That too. We all are. We all are, and it's all love, my friends. If you want to follow me on Twitter, which I don't tweet often anymore because I'm trash, but I will. I'm Rob_God on Twitter. You could also like my Facebook page, because I have one now.
Oh yeah, you do. And I thought that was a joke for a second. No, I was like, this nigga never stops. That's it's all jokes over
up.
There.
It's a joke. I'm trash. Damn. Like a tear came out. It's like facebook.com/IHU.Rob, or you could just type in Rob the God.
Do I even follow you?
No, you don't.
IHU.
It's fine.
Rob.
I don't think any
at all.
Of my friends actually liked
okay,
my page.
But who just liked Inner Hop Rising like 3 weeks ago?
No, you know.
You fake.
You know how that
you're
works.
Fake,
you know when you became, when you become an admin, automatically like unlikes you from
the
page.
I didn't
because remember
that.
We told you that, like, Sam, you weren't like, you didn't like the page.
No, I always liked the page.
Oh my God, you know what?
What
it's
are you
not,
talking about?
Sam is lying. I've always liked Inner Hoe Uprising. I reposted all your shit before I even came on this. Okay,
you did, and I was like, how do you not like the page?
No,
it was
I don't
very
liked
odd
it
to
because
me.
I was like, I'm a part of this now. I need to add this like to
I'm
my
too
like
good
list
for this.
But yes, and Slamantha Cashley,
Slamrid on Instagram and Twitter, and I don't use Snapchat no more.
Sam's too good for Snapchat.
I'm too good for Snapchat.
You fake.
Let's end the show.
Bye,
Rob.
I miss you. Stop. Don't do that. Don't bye, Rob me.